here we go, Barker. It is the last day of Baseball Central. Well, at least for 2020. Fingers crossed. And what a way to go out. What a way to go out. We'll take your calls all hour. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. World Series, Jays, Barker, Bundesliga, whatever you want to...
A.J. Hinch.
Whatever you want to talk about, A.J. Hinch, give us a call, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. I'm still laughing at Alex Sixero during his update, Barker.
Cheater.
Cheater, A.J. Hinch. Tell us how you really feel, Sixero.
Yeah. So put him down for undecided.
Undecided. The Detroit Tigers hiring A.J. Hinch as their manager. Shock. I'm shocked that A.J. Hinch is getting a job again in baseball. The only thing I'm shocked is that he was hired before the other cheater, Alex Cora. That's the only thing that that surprises me out of this. A.J. Hinch, of course, the Astros manager, the garbage can banging, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he has been hired by the Detroit Tigers. Maybe you've got a thought in that. You got an idea on who the Jays should go after? There's a ton of guys out there right now. And while we're at it, maybe we need to have this chat. Baseball, as we all know, is a dying sport. Right? TV ratings awful this year for the World Series. Horrible. Awful for the World Series.
Worst ever.
Worst ever. Analytics. I mean, we've been talking about analytics. You know, people don't like that. Game goes too long. Game's awful. Game's just taken way too long. Four-hour games. Too many pitching changes. All sorts of issues with baseball. The New York Mets, who are a crap show. I mean, they are without question. They are a big, steaming pile of poo, with the exception of Jacob DeGrom and maybe a couple of other players. By and large, this is an organization that just amongst the worst run organizations in sports. They're horrible, and they're part of a dying sport. A sport ravaged by COVID-19. They've just been bought for $2.475 billion. So you're going to have to explain that to me. You know, this is what I'm getting around to, this whole thing about baseball and baseball's dying and yada yada, and the TV ratings. The baseball network contract continues to go up. So clearly the TV folks don't view it as a dying sport, or at least they view it as a product they're willing to put on their on prime time. Those numbers keep going up. The value of teams. Think about this. We are, yes, it's New York City, but we are still in the middle of a pandemic. We don't know when there will be fans in the stands, right? And some dude is stepping up and paying $2.5 billion to buy a not very good team. In the middle of it, he doesn't know what his revenue is going to be this year. Nope. He got no clue. He has no clue. So all I'm saying is, as we go into our final day of Baseball Central, sport is issues. It needs to be more representative. There need to be, I think, some tweaks to some of the rules. I'm not one of those you got to wrap it up in 2 hours, because unlike a lot of people, my attention span does go beyond 10 minutes.
The shift.
The shift. At some point, there will be a regulation put in the shift. You'll have to have two guys on one side of the bag or something like that. Yeah, there will be.
Well, somebody smart's going to say, "Will that make the game faster?" That's what they're going to say. That's going to be their answer to everything. It'll be 3 hours long instead of 3 hours and 19 minutes long.
It won't make the game shorter.
Well, there you go. Then
you're going to have more runners in base, et cetera, et cetera. Anyhow,
team.
There you go.
I'm off my soapbox,
but I just wanted to get that out there, right? That this is where we are right now with Major League Baseball. And we all know what happened with Justin Turner. We know Major League Baseball got through the season with 54 days. We know all the stuff about COVID and everything like that. But here's where we are in the final day of Baseball Central. This sums up baseball perfectly. At a time of great economic instability, some dude is going to spend $2.5 billion on a steaming pile of poo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, a guy who cheated to win the World Series has just been rehired. That is baseball. Yeah. Everything in the last 72 hours. Screwed up COVID tests. Best team in baseball winning the World Series. Justin Turner running out in the field and spreading COVID all over Hell's Half Acre. The Mets being bought for 2.5. This is why it's such a great game. Because even while it's dying, even while people are sticking a fork in it, it still manages to give you something to talk about.
I don't know if you just made me depressed.
No, I'm not. It's great.
I don't know what it is.
It is. It's the old line, right? Baseball must be a great sport to survive the idiots who run it. That is
a great line.
That is it.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is a happy Friday. It is happy. You know, there's a certain amount of wistfulness that you know, you're not going to be here and that Baseball Central's off the air.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'd be nice if you want to come on anytime. You can come on.
You got any money?
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590. No more Baseball Central. Mike in Edmonton. No more Baseball Central. How about Barker's Block? I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
Barker, you can host a show for 3 hours, and I'll just sit in and talk. Yeah, you run the whole thing. You do the ins and outs.
Mm.
It'd be great. And I'll just sit.
Somebody's got to soft toss it to me. I'm good at backlegging things, Jeff.
That's what I've heard. Eddie in Toronto. Hey, yes. Our first caller. What's up, Eddie?
Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? How you doing, Barker?
Good. We're great.
You guys just basically took my point. I was going to make the point that the most important thing that I learned from this season was that Manfred is talking about getting rid of the shift, and that's going to bring a lot of people back to the game.
You think so?
It's going to bring me back to the game because that's one of the reasons why. I'll give you a quick story. The first sport that my old man introduced me to was cricket.
Yeah.
Okay, and he said, this is the greatest game in the world. And I said, okay, why is it the greatest game in the world? And he said, look at what's happening there, right? There's no foul territory. Look at Brian Lara. I grew up watching him. I don't know if you know who he is.
I know the name. I'm familiar with cricket.
He was my hero growing up, right? And my old man said, look at his feet are like a boxer, right? He moves around in that strike area like this and that, and he's doing all this type. He's using his whole body to manipulate the ball and trying to find the vacant area. In baseball, they have a shift, and they put the whole team on one side of the field, and they expect the batter to stand there with his feet planted in the batter's box and try to manipulate with the top part of his body. That's why you get a lot of injuries in baseball. Mm. That's dangerous to do with a pitch coming at you at 95 miles an hour. So I think it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to this game. I know the shift has been in baseball for a long time. I personally think it's unethical. It's cheating. I'm very passionate about it. I think it needs to be gone. And what you said, Blair, have two guys on one side of the second base and two guys on the other. And if one fielder crosses that line, the runner gets to advance or even give up a run. I know that's kind of extreme.
I know what you mean.
But
yeah.
Something has to be done about this. It's ruining the game. It's not right. It's not fair. It's total cheating. I hate seeing it every time I turn on the TV and I see four guys over here. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, this is not right. You let the guy move around like Brian Charles Lara did on the strike zone and then try to let's see how good the shift works.
Let me ask you this, though. Sure. Let me ask you this, Eddie, because if that happens, and I do think that there is going to be some legislation with the shift. I think it's one of those things you're going to see. I don't know if you'll see it next year, but it's got to be on the table. It just has to be because too many smart people are talking about it and too many people with very intimate ties to the game are talking about it. But here's the thing. If you eliminate the shift, I can guarantee you games are going to take longer because you're going to have more runners on base. Does that bother
that's
you?
That's a good point.
Does that bother you, though?
I love baseball. The one thing I love about baseball is guys like Buck Dan.
Yep.
Those guys told stories, right? That's what baseball is. It's just, you know, people are telling stories, and I love that. And I don't care about people talking about – I hate to bring it back to cricket, but a lot
of – go ahead.
T20 was a bastardized version of cricket. Everybody wanted 50 overs in cricket. Well, guess what? The next generation, nobody's going to sit there and watch 4 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours. Although I do remember when Brian Lara, he's my hero, he hit a 400. That was brilliant. I'd never seen that before, and I'll probably never see it again. I don't know when that's ever going to happen again, but that happened in the ODI. the one-day internationals. But T20 is not a bastardized version of cricket. Mm-hmm. And three-hour baseball games is what baseball is all about. It's the beauty of it. And I love it, but I don't like this. And this second base guy on second base in the extra, give me, what is this nonsense? Like, you're just ruining the game. It's a pure game. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave
You have completely, and thank you for the call, Eddie. Yeah, we got to move on. Thank you.
Call anytime.
Yeah. Well, Barker won't be here, but you can call me.
When I'm back.
When you're back. Yeah. I just think it's great that the first call we had in Baseball Central is a guy who
hates the shift.
Yeah, who grew up watching cricket.
Yeah.
It's weird. I do not understand everything about cricket, but I will watch it.
Okay, Jeff.
If it's on, I will watch it. His point, though, about, he summed up a lot of things. He summed up what fans are thinking of. Do away with the shift. The runner in second, unfortunately, guys and women, I think the runner in second is here to stay.
Well, I like it regular season. Playoffs, I don't like it.
Playoffs, I don't think you'll see it. No.
You can have it. It kills pitching staffs, and, you know, you have to think 3 or 4 days ahead of the time, and then you're getting guys in the big league level that aren't big leaguers. That's not what I want to see. I want to see guys that are in the big leagues because they're big leaguers.
Yep.
That's the whole thing. But you know what the shift's done, Jeff? When I was a player, you know what I had goals for myself early in my career? Well, when I was a young pup? When I first came up, it was always 300, 30, and 100. The shift has killed the 300. It really has. Hitting 300 at the big league level now is almost impossible. There's so many. There's the few and far between is the guy that sees, you know, the four outfielders like your Rays do. The stupid where the second baseman runs out and stands in the left center, and they move the center fielder over to right center, and the right fielder standing closer to the line. That kind of thing. And what's a hitter supposed to do? He's supposed to try and go outside the box and do something that did not get him to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. And then you're seeing longer at bats. You see strikeouts. You're seeing walks. You're seeing more pitches taken. I'm not sure if I'm for, eliminating it altogether. The Rays have made the World Series because of the shift. You know, it's helped their pitching staff. It's helped their bullpen. It's helped them be a better team and get further along in the season. So I'm not sure I'm a favor of eliminating it, but I think adjustments, it's okay to make adjustments to certain things you do to make the game better. I'm all for that. It's, you know, you put in rules to make the game better, to make it more fun to watch. And, you know, if you have to have the three batter rule, maybe make an adjustment to the shift. Have 17 smart people sit in a room and go, hey, what's this look like? If you put two guys here, if you don't put a guy here, if you don't allow four outfielders, how's it look then? How, you know, the flow of the game, I'm sure they can come up with something that makes it look a little bit better and give the hitter an actual chance to maybe hit 300.
One of the things that I have heard, and this is not from it's from a person who, it's a baseball person. I don't think this person necessarily has the ears of anybody in the commissioner's office, but it was an idea that has been talked about at different levels, and that is restricting when you can use the shift. And
like trips to the mound sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're talking about
either putting a number on.
Yeah.
Which that now you're creating a strategic aspect.
Yeah.
Of it, putting it put or not allowing the shift perhaps early in the game. You can only use the shift after the eighth inning or the seventh inning or something like that. There are a lot of, but this is the type of discussion that I think baseball needs to have. Cause I bust your balls about the shift all the time and all that, but yeah, there are parts of the game that I grew up watching and playing and loving that I miss. And a lot of that comes from the fact that the shift is put in. The shift is predominant. My whole point with the shift is it's like arguing about technology, and we have too much technology, et cetera, et cetera. And you're not going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle. But I really do think that you are going to see people start talking about putting some sort of limitation on it. And one of the things that the runner in second base has done, when I originally heard of that idea, I thought, this is stupid. But then the first couple of times I saw it, right? I thought, okay, this is actually introducing some new strategic wrinkles. I think we talked about this.
Yeah.
Same thing. Minimum three batters for a pitcher or the end of the inning. I thought, oh, this is just so, you know, God, this is taking away all the strategy. No, it's just added a different type of strategy there. You know, and I remember saying, guys like Aaron Loop, they're screwed by this rule.
Yeah.
No. So all I'm saying is this season's opened my eyes to a couple of things, and I would be willing to have some sort of discussion about limiting the shift.
I like the how many times you can do it in a game. That's sort of a neat kind of way to, you know, that manager has to figure out just the exact right guy to do it against in the exact right time of the game to do it in.
Yep.
Makes sense, Jeff.
Sam in Hamilton, what's up, Sam?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. First of all, about the shift. Now, I'm talking about the Blue Jays offseason, but about the shift, I don't think anybody's going to complain when Fernando Tatis grounds out the Bo Bichette in the shift and the Blue Jays win the World Series.
Correct.
So about that. Yeah, so... Now, about the Blue Jays offseason, obviously I don't know anything about Rogers' finance, but I think the Blue Jays are doing well compared to other teams, so hopefully the Blue Jays do go after the top guys. Now, the one guy who I really want the Blue Jays to go after is George Springer. I think, to me, he would be the perfect center fielder. Move Randall Grichuk to a fourth outfield spot, which I think could benefit Grichuk.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been very clear. I think you have to upgrade the outfield defensively. You have to upgrade the lineup. George Springer accomplishes all those things for me. Randall Grichuk, regardless of the financial state of this team, I don't see this team. How much does Grichuk make? 10 next year? Whatever it is. I don't see them having a guy like that on the bench. I don't know, frankly, if Randall Grichuk would be a really good fourth outfielder, to be quite honest. But I would, hey, if you can get George Springer and you get him in a Blue Jays uniform, you make it fit, right? I think we agree. I'm hoping, Sam, we're on the same page here. I'm all in on Gurriel and Hernandez. I don't want them going anywhere. I don't want them going anywhere. Grichuk, I would think you're onto something.
Yeah, now about Teoscar Hernandez, I do think he is the right fielder of the future. I do think he's good. Now, I personally would rather see him bat a little lower because the one thing that really concerns me is the strikeouts, and he doesn't walk much. Now, also, one more thing about the Blue Jays this offseason. If the Blue Jays do want to make that huge swing, I mean, just go for it, go all in on 2020, would you not go after Nolan Arenado?
Oh, if Nolan, yes, I've got to have that discussion. And Barker, thank you for the call, Sam. Yeah. Barker and I talked about this. If you're the Blue Jays right now, given where you are financially, you got to be in on everybody. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to sign here, but it makes no sense. Even understanding the economics of the game are screwed up because of COVID. It makes no sense to get Hyunjin Ryu and then stand back for 3 years and go, we're not going to add anything else. So, yeah, I think you have to have you have to call Trevor Bauer. You have to call George Springer. You got to be in on the Colton Wongs of the world, the James McCanns. Kevin, if a Nolan Arenado's out there available for trade, you got to at least make the call.
Yeah, I think trades are a little bit different than writing a check. You know, if I'm the Rockies and I'm, you know, the Blue Jays call, who's the first guy they're going to ask for?
Bo.
Then do you really want to give up Bo?
No.
So that's the, you know, that's you got to be realistic there. It's a little bit different writing a check than trading your future for something that may not get you where you want to go.
Yeah, but I at least have that discussion now if I'm the Jays, right? I don't hang up the phone and go, no. My response is, well, maybe not Bo, but what about, I don't know, what about Vladdy and Simeon Woods Richardson? Would you do that?
I still think you got to ask yourself, are they really good enough to be contending in 2021?
Mm. Well, you do have to have some...
Common sense?
Well, no, you've got to have some security. You've got to be trading for a guy you think
Do you know if Vladdy's any good?
No.
I mean, do you think Teoscar Hernandez over 162 games can do what he did this year?
Yeah.
You really, you think that?
Well, I mean, as for sure as I think anything. I mean, yeah, I would, you're asking me, do I feel that there is a chance that Teoscar Hernandez can do over four?
Now, you got to remember, Randall Grichuk hit 30 and 80 a year ago.
I think
that's a lot.
I think Teoscar can, yeah.
To be trying to get rid of a Randall Grichuk who's, you know, who hits a fastball. Who can hit a home run, who can drive in runs, who can hit in the middle of your order. You got to be careful
who's
with.
Better? Are they a better team with George Springer or Randall Grichuk?
I mean, if you're talking when it comes September
right
and October.
Now. No, just right now. If today I could make that swap. If I called you and said, Kevin Barker.
With wins, I would say they're the same because their pitching staff's not going to change.
Okay.
Like what would George Springer change leading off in June? Now, if you give him to me in September and October, we're talking.
You can't do that.
Well, there you go.
You can't do that. He's a free agent.
I just think they have a lot of holes. I think, you know, you're glossing over like does one guy change it enough to make them contending? Can they beat the Yankees because George Springer's playing center field and leading off?
Well, one of the things we talked about, I know we're up against the clock here. We'll take a break and get back to your calls. Again, the Jays' ETA is going to be determined by Nate Pearson. So if you don't think Nate Pearson can contribute next year, then I think maybe you do. You keep your powder dry a bit. Because, again, folks, Nate Pearson is the key to everything this organization does. When he's ready to pitch, when he's ready to start, when he's ready to be the Nate Pearson we think he's going to be, that's go time. Until then, it ain't go time.
If you got Mark Shapiro in a room and ask him, did you learn anything about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., what do you think his answer would be in 2020? Do you think he'd be like, yeah, we got our future first baseman?
Well, I'm going to say that.
I'm not saying he didn't play every day.
No.
But I'm saying, do you offensively, do you think he can carry your team for 2 weeks?
I don't know about that.
That's what
I learned
about.
That a guy that I was worried about being too heavy played every day and lost weight. So for me, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. achieved a couple of things this year that I, even over 60 games, I didn't think he'd play every game.
Okay, yeah.
I thought he was going to be hurt. I was worried about his weight.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, you got to give this kid credit for something. He played every day. He put up with the DH first base thing. He moved the position, and he realized that everybody said he was fat, and he lost weight. Over 60 games. I like what he showed me in that regard. The numbers aren't what I thought they'd be. But I'll tell you what, I would love to have seen Vladdy over 162, this year over 162. If you show me a Vladdy Jr. who, one, plays every day, two, loses weight and gets himself into shape, absolutely. I would be intrigued to see what you would get for 162.
Maybe it says if he plays first every day, he can play every day. Don't move him to third.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. It is the last day of Baseball Central. Don't miss your chance to call up. We'll go to the lines. The Toronto Blue Jays have just declined the option in Chase Anderson. So basically they decided they'd spend $500,000 to let him become a free agent as opposed to spending about $10 million having him pitch for him. If only they had an option in Tanner Roark.
They'd trade him, I think.
Anyhow, so he can add Chase Anderson's name to the growing list of players whose options aren't being paid. I can just imagine the first conversation between Rob Manfred, the commissioner, and Tony Clark, the head of the Major League Baseball Players Association. Tony, we're in real trouble financially.
Yeah.
It is going to be awfully hard for us to get through next year. I feel for players like Chase Anderson who've been released. You don't know as a baseball fan how much it hurts me. To which Tony Clark says, you just sold the freaking Mets for $2.475 billion.
Yeah.
That's how negotiations will start. Charles and Markham, you're on Baseball Central. What's up?
Charles.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
First off, I wanted to say thanks for a great season. I love listening to you guys. I've learned so much.
Thank you.
You guys every day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. So my question is about Vladdy. The narrative out there is that Vladdy, he's still so young. He's only 21. Be patient. But then when I look around the league at other young stars, Acuna, 21 last year, 40 home runs. Tatis, he's only 2 months older than Vladdy. Trout, he went down. He got sent back down in his rookie year when he was 19. But when he was 20, he hit 30 home runs. So do you think we need to adjust our expectation of what we think he can become? Do you think he still has the ceiling of possible best hitter in the game or you know, what a lot of what we've heard about him like that?
I've always said he needs help. This is what I said. You go out and spend money on a Nelson Cruz, like a father figure, like a, you know, when I go to eat, you go with me. Now, obviously COVID issues and you do.
Or more importantly, when I don't go to eat, you don't go with me. I'm sorry.
That yeah, was, I mean, I may have soft-tossed that to you a little. I apologize for that. But it's a little bit of that, you know, he is a kid. He's trying to learn on the fly here. He's changed positions. You know, the weight will probably always be an issue with Vladdy. I think it is, you know, the rubber has met the road a little. It has for me anyway. I want to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for a complete month mashing fastballs.
I think we just dropped.
Yeah, I mean, Charles. That's a great call, and that's a great question. But that's what I want to see. Forget about all the other stuff. You know, the mechanics and the and all. When I was 21 years old, you know what I could do, Jeff?
What?
You could throw it like a Ferrari, and I was turning that thing around. But if you spin it, I was having trouble with it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I want to see him do. And I saw this little video on I think it was Twitter or Instagram where he's taking those soft tosses.
You don't even know now. You're such a social media monster. You don't know your Twitter from your Instagram.
Yeah, but it looked exactly like that, swinging on his heel kind of thing. And I'm thinking, well, you know, timing. You know, we saw Corey Seager a little bit. You know, he does that toe tap thing. But it's all one little fluid motion. I want to see Vladdy hit a heater. And I want to see him consistently hit a heater. And until then, it's going to be real tough to take it serious. Like, it's going to be real tough to go, that's the guy I want hitting third for the next 15 years for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Charles, your point is something we've talked about as well. Look, the bar has been raised for 20, 21-year-old players. And just as the bar has been raised, frankly, for Nate Pearson.
Yeah, it's just a number anymore. It has nothing to do with experience.
And, yeah, I mean, the first thing I would tell you is, you look at Vladdy, you look at Acuna, you look at Tatis.
Sano's
definitely not where I'm going with this. tell me, just to the eye test, who do you think's the better athlete? Just in the eye test.
Well, that's a no-brainer. Not Vladdy.
Who would be faster? Who would have quicker hands? Who would have all that stuff? So I am saying, I don't think Vladdy's age excuses him from being in that group. I think he's just a different body type.
See, I don't think you can compare the three people because...
No, and the other thing, can I just interrupt for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. The other thing, let's bring Fernando and Brampton in as well because I know he's been waiting. The other thing, too, I want to say, Fernando, just before we get to your point is those guys didn't have to move positions defensively. And, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., shortstop. Acuna, outfielder. Gets back to the athlete part.
I think they can impact the game, too, when they're not hitting. Vladdy can't do that.
Very true. Fernando, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Appreciate your show, and I hope Sportsnet finds it in their little heart in the next 2 days to somehow, some way, bring you back starting next week with something.
I wouldn't complain if they did.
Nope.
Having said that, let's go back to our first caller, I think it was, regarding cricket.
Yeah.
Yes.
For those who understand or know the game a little, you realize when they hit a four-run hit or a six-runner, they don't run the crickets.
Yeah.
They just stay where they are.
Yeah.
Now, what is wrong with baseball saying, well, the ball's over the fence, it's a home run. Why is he running all the bases?
I love this.
You're halfway to first base on the doubter. The ball is over the fence. Turn around, go back to your dugout.
I absolutely, this is a, I swear to God, Fernando, thank you for the call. This is, if you want to get 10 baseball writers together completely hammered out of their mind and you want to have fun, throw that out. Somebody always does. You know what has always struck me as stupid? Why do you run the bases when there's a home run?
Yeah, well, I can tell you.
You don't now. You got the intentional walk, right? You don't have to throw the four pitches in. I'm just saying. I have asked that question. None of us have ever had the appropriate answer for it. But it's a hell of a question.
Okay, when I was playing and I hit six home runs at the major league level, I felt like I earned every single one of them. When I was running around the bases, the spotlight was on
me.
It exactly is.
Okay.
I've earned the right all of those times that my hands were bleeding in the batting cage I backlegged you and I hit a home run. I want to be rewarded for it. Run around the bases and show everybody.
That's why.
So you can ask writers who are in a hurry to get the game over with so they can write their, you know, 1,000-word essay for after the game. It's a little different if you were to ask the player that's actually hitting it.
What about that? That'd be outstanding. I'll ask you. You could weigh in 590-590. What if we didn't allow players to run the bases for home runs? If it's over the fence, you don't have to run around. We get it. You hit a home run.
Yeah, then you get into.
I got you thinking.
No, you don't. Then you get into, like, if somebody hit a ground ball to short, and then
no, you got
to
run.
Well, somebody didn't run. Well, I can't run when I hit a ball 3,000 feet, but I have to run.
Yes,
as hard as I can run on the ball to short.
Nothing's going
to
happen if you hit a ball 3,000 feet. Nothing's going to happen.
I see. Now you're pushing it just a little.
Just think, if you told base runners they did not have to run around the base and they hit a home run, just think of the bat flips. Think of the funky ass stuff you could do at home plate. I mean, you could moonwalk.
Yeah, then we'd be some kind of out of shape.
Gail in Nova Scotia, what's up?
Hi, I just wanted to thank you and Kevin. I think you do an awesome job.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank
and
you.
I look forward to your show just as much as I do the Jays games and miss you over the winter.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. And secondly, I just want to sort of see how you guys react to it. I really think that improving the defense is the key to next year. And I've got four players here, Realmuto, Paxton, pitching, LaStella, and even Jackie Bradley Jr., although I'd love to have Springer. What would you think of those four? And do you think that would improve the defense?
Oh, thanks for the call, Gail, and have a great winter, or great off season.
See, if I picked up JT, I'd move him to first.
Yeah, we've had this discussion.
That would take a little pressure off of Vladdy. You could DH him a little bit. Then you could, when you did want to catch JT, you know, he's catching about 130 games a year. Yeah. That's a lot for a 30-year-old, and to give him $150 million.
Yeah.
Just don't think that's realistic. So if you can make him a first baseman, you'd maximize his offense. You could DH more of Vladdy that way. You know, it's something to kick around. Now the Bradley Jr. in center field. Listen, that's the best center field for me in baseball. He's going to make the right and left hand the field better because he's going to catch everything.
He might even be a net. It might even be worse offensively than what you have.
Have your cake and eat it, too. You're talking about defense.
Okay, well, let's get to this. Okay, you have Jackie Bradley Jr. center. If you can upgrade your offense someplace else, then I do it, right? Like, again, they're not going to – I don't think they get JT Realmuto, but if you add a guy who is your middle-of-the-order hitter and doesn't play the outfield, then absolutely.
Yeah.
Or, if you add a guy who is your middle-of-the-order hitter but doesn't play the outfield – then absolutely I'd go after a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. Without question. Tommy LaStella is an interesting guy. I know that Dan Shulman is convinced the Jays had some talks about Tommy LaStella. I would think they have to. He gives them something they don't have offensively.
Who plays third next year?
Well, I mean, I don't think they have their third baseman next year. I think that has to be...
Do you think they were serious when they said to Vladdy moving back to third? You can't keep asking him to do that. You're going to have to pick one or the other. Stop doing it to him. Like, you're not doing him any favors now.
Well, the only thing with Vladdy at first is I want Rowdy's bat in the lineup every day too, and Vladdy's got to play every day. So that, to me, they both have to play every day. Look, I would like the Jays to settle. To have a settled infield. I know that there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching and shifting, but if you can't get somebody like Colton Wong to play second base every day, leave Biggio at second. If you can't get an upgrade at shortstop, if you're not going to get Lindor or somebody, leave Bichette at short, and then go and add that third baseman.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you have him in the organization. Jordan Groshans, maybe in a couple of years. I don't know enough about Austin Martin. I still would prefer Austin Martin being given a shot at center field. Even if you add a center fielder, you're going to need somebody to come in here and play center field in 3 or 4 years. So I would like to see Austin Martin get a shot there.
I just don't think it's realistic next year to go after winning when you don't really have a starting nine.
Yeah.
You mentioned so many positions that you don't really know who's playing where.
Don in Orangeville, what's up?
Hi, guys. Again, the similar sentiments to everybody else. I've enjoyed listening to you guys through the year.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you. I was at spring training this year for the fifth consecutive year, and boy, I never anticipated this type of season. But they've done a beautiful job with the stadium. But I was calling about the shift, and the only thing worse, in my opinion, than the shift is when teams start to react to it, and now they're playing small ball, bunting it for base hits. Mm-hmm. I think that would really look awful on the game. And one potential solution I thought of was, fine, if you want to do a shift, the batter starts with ball one. It's a trade-off. If you want to strategically stack the defense, then you're given ball one, almost like a balk, you know?
Yeah, so, oh, that's interesting. I Barker and I, you know what? And thanks for the call, Don. We're going to have this argument about, I always say, why don't guys hit the other way? And you always get back to me that it's just not that easy. And it's
simple. They can't.
It is, yeah.
They got to the big leagues doing it one way, and they're not going to change trying to do it some other way.
Yeah.
It's just not in their nature. And then you got hard throwers to boot. It's a lot to
ask. And Don, I will say this, as our friend Ed Sprague pointed out, God, 3 years ago when we had him on, I think it was on one of the other shows I did, the 9 to Noon show. Mm. They all run together.
Oh, yeah.
The 9 to Noon show.
You've done it all.
Well, I don't know about that, but we had Ed Sprague on, and one of Ed's points was, you don't get paid for hitting opposite field singles. You get paid in baseball for power. So his point was, until you start, players aren't stupid.
Yeah.
Players are going to look at the shift and go, well, the only thing I can do now to make my money is hit the ball over the shift. And I know there are people out there that are rolling their eyes, but Bark, we talked about this. Baseball players are all a bunch of independent contractors who just happen to be together for 162 games. It's a team sport, but it is an individual sport.
I think the shift has basically eliminated you trying to hit the ball on the ground. That's what it's done. It's not so much of trying to hit it away from where people are standing, but how do I not swing at something that forces me to hit the ball on the ground? That is the one thing, because if you 9 times out of 10, because of where they're shifting, the Rays are almost perfect at putting a guy 9 times out of 10 where that guy hits the ball a lot. So what am I trying to do as a hitter? I'm trying to first and foremost not hit the ball on the ground. If I do that, I have a chance of when I elevate it to backspin it, because of the way the bats are made, because of the way the balls are wound tightly, I can hopefully hit a ball in the gap or I can hit the ball out of the yard. That's the thing. Again, this shift thing is going to be an interesting thing. The ball one, that's very hard to ask a pitcher to, because now you're going against stats for the pitcher. How do you pay a pitcher? We talk about this all the time. How do you pay Nick Anderson?
Yeah.
And you give a guy a ball and he walks a guy on 3 pitches instead of 4 pitches. How are you paying these guys? Then it gets back to the union gets involved. I don't think you can gloss around it. I think you're either in or you're out.
I'm not even going to introduce this next guest. I'm just going to bring him on. He needs no introduction.
Hey, fellas.
How you doing, Clifton?
Hey, doing pretty good, man. Pretty good. It's been a while, but.
Yeah. Clifton, did you ever think you'd hear a show, a Baseball Central show, where we'd have a caller call up and reference Lauro and cricket? Tell me you didn't.
But you know what? No, I enjoyed listening to that guy because, like, I grew up on cricket, Jeff. Like, I didn't start watching baseball until I came to Canada, right?
Yep.
This was in 1981. And one of the best games I saw, man, like, one of the best games was that pitching matchup between John Smoltz and Jack Morris.
Right.
And, like, I got to tell you, it watching the game the other night, thinking about that game when they pulled Snell, and I'm thinking, man, like, and it's funny because I was watching the Fox feed, listening to John Smoltz, and I'm thinking, man, you think a manager could have pulled one of those guys back in the day from a game like that?
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
I don't think so either. But listen, Tony La Russa, Jeff.
Yes.
When I heard this yesterday, like, I was disgusted because I can't believe that this guy could not have recommended a younger, you know, assistant coaches on one of his staff from, you know, with all those teams that he has been on. Like, guys who have been, you know, guys who have paid their dues, it's waiting to get a chance to manage. To me, it's never, I mean, I might be, you know, in a minority here, but I don't like to see when guys come back from retirement, especially in your mid-70s, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a couple of things, Clifton, that really bother me about this hiring. One, and look, I put my hand up and say I'm as guilty of it as any other baseball writer out there. We gave Tony La Russa a free pass on steroids. His teams were, you know, his teams had a lot of players. I mean, just go through the list of players who were implicated in the steroid scandal. His teams had a lot of players who were involved. I'm not saying he did anything illegal, but I am saying that, you know, Bud Seeley got hammered for it. Mark McGwire got hammered for it. Jose Canseco got hammered for it. A bunch of guys, we don't know whether or not they did steroids. People are suspicious about them. They got hammered for it. Tony La Russa not only gets in the Hall of freaking fame, right? He not only gets in the Hall of Fame, but he gets rehired to manage a team at the age of whatever, 153. And here's the other thing that really bothers me about what we've seen. Look, I believe you get hired on merit, but I also believe that a sport that has to be concerned about how it is presented to its fans, to young fans, a sport that needs to be concerned about its representation, how on earth you can have the first two job hirings be one, a guy who was a cheater in AJ Hinch, and two, a 2035-year-old white guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you try to tell you if I'm a coach who is a member of a visible minority? Okay, what am I thinking right now? What am I thinking? What if I'm the next Charlie Montoyo? I'm putting all my time in. And you're bringing down a guy who's 1,068 years old, and I don't want to be ageist here because I'm old, but you're bringing down a guy like Tony La Russa, and you're not, again, it's just I have a real problem with that. And
the thing, too, like, I've always thought Tony La Russa was overrated, because if you think about some of the teams that this guy has managed over the years, man, this guy has had some great teams. And yes, he has won 3 World Series, but, you know, like the way people always talk about Tony La Russa and with those teams, he should have won way more. And finally, before I go, fellas, like, even though the season here was abbreviated, I think you guys have always been strong. And, I mean, like, you know, Barker, buddy, I can't tell you how much I appreciate listening to you, man.
I appreciate that.
You call them as they should be called.
Clifton, great of you to join us. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for calling.
Really, you have no idea how happy we are. You're doing well, I presume, right?
Yes. I'm doing well.
You're doing well. Family's good. Son's good. Everybody's good. All right.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Yeah, take care. Clifton in Etobicoke. We really do need to do more calls. I miss Clifton in Etobicoke, Eddie and 40, or all those guys.
Yeah.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll be back with more calls. And yes, we'll have to do you-know-what. The final you-know-what of the season. Barker's smiling. Now he's going on Twitter to find out. You got a source telling you about Bundesliga picks. Yeah, right. Or Google. You got somebody who's telling you about Bundesliga picks. I know. You've got some German fan or something. Anyhow, it's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, it is that time. We got to get to it. I don't feel, this doesn't disappoint me that we're getting to it. This is fitting. All right, this is the, obviously, the portion of the show we call Barker's Bundesliga Picks. Barker, do you know what you were last week?
No, Jeff, what was I? I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either. There's no point in saying what Barker's
record
was.
You should say it out loud. It has a nice little ring to it.
No, we don't. You should say. Listeners don't really care what he was.
I think they would.
He was 5-0. All right, here's this week's games. Here's this week's games. 5-0. You see, you're 13-10 with 10 draws. We should actually count the draws as losses.
We should.
Make you 13-20. This is a Friday afternoon spooktacular. See what I did?
Because good one.
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Schalke 04 against VfB. Why don't I just call them VfB? Because I don't even know if V is how you say V in German. Or V is how... Anyhow, VfB Stuttgart and Schalke 04.
This is a tricky one. I love me some numbers. Yeah, I'm gonna go 04, 2-1. That's a tricky one.
They stink.
So's the other team.
Yeah, that's true, actually. All right. Armenia Bielefeld I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right.
I've never heard of that.
Against Borussia Dortmund.
Ooh. I do love me some Dortmund.
Yeah, I do.
3-0 Dortmund.
That's a solid score. That's a solid score. Big score. FC Augsburg against Mainz, 0-5. Now, I know you love you some numbers, but.
What was the first one?
FC Augsburg.
I'm going to go Augsburg.
You're going to go what?
Augsburg.
That's good. All right.
That's how you do it.
1-0.
1-0. All right. All right. Eintracht Frankfurt against Werder Bremen. Well, this is a tough one.
Yeah, Frankfurt. 3-1.
3-1.
It's not really that tough.
Pardon me. Well,
I mean, you start calling me out. I had to go a little homework, man.
I'm going to start calling you Der Kaiser if you keep that up. FC Cologne against Bayern Munich.
Ooh. Who do you think I'll pick in this? Bayern Munich, 4-1. How's that?
That's actually pretty good. This could be a little tricky now. This is a very good team.
Yeah.
Against a team that a lot of people really like.
You don't know anything you're talking about.
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, yeah.
Say that. Just say it once.
Gladbach.
No, say the whole thing. Borussia Mönchengladbach.
No. God. I could get fired for saying that.
Borussia Mönchengladbach against RB Leipzig.
Well, I haven't even heard of the second one.
They're the best team in the league.
Then I'll take that one 2-0.
Yeah.
Wow. You tricked me, I think. I'm going Gladbach. You tricked me, I think.
I just want to hear you say Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Oh, good. I could say some bad words in there.
It's pretty hard to mess up. Anyhow, SC Freiburg against Bayer Leverkusen.
Bayer Leverkusen. 2-0.
All right. Hertha Berlin, that's a big-ass city, against VfL Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg. 1-0. That's not a good one. I'm going to go out of limb.
Okay.
1-0.
1-0. And finally, Union Berlin against TSG Hoffenheim.
Hoffenheim, 3-1.
All right, there you go. Well, Mr. Barker, that was fun.
Yeah, we nailed that.
You nailed that one. You nailed that one.
Have a great offseason, everybody.
Everybody have a great offseason. I have a sneaking suspicion you may hear Mr. Barker on writer's block at some point here and there.
I mean, if
I can get Hazel, if I can convince Hazel to free you up from doing all your honeydew projects.
She's a pretty tough agent.
Yeah, I know she is. Anyhow, Barker, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much, as always. Thanks to those of you who listen. Do not worry. We'll make sure that Barker's voice isn't silenced. There will be, I'll make sure somehow I get him on. Yeah, it's a good way to end the show. You're number one too, Barker.